Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and it's so good to have you with us today for the Rediscover Hour as we talk about evangelization, talk about Jesus Christ, and occasionally we talk about various topics. Like today, we're going to talk about hope. Hope, hope, hope. And we're going to talk about not going into despair, but living in hope. And what is biblical hope? What does it mean to hope in God? What does it mean to have hope? And what's the difference between hope in God in a difficult situation versus what are we having for dinner? Well, I hope it's good. You know, there's a big difference between those types of hope. There's a difference between hoping in Jesus and I hope so. So we're going to learn all about that today. So if you know of somebody that is dealing with despair, dealing with hopelessness, give them a call right now. Tell them to tune in. You might be the instrument that touches them today just by hearing a word of encouragement. Hopefully, there will be some words of encouragement during today. You know, last week we were talking about anger, and I said the same thing. I said, give someone a call. You wouldn't believe the number of emails I got from people that wrote me or texted me and said, wow, I tuned in and that was exactly what I needed to deal with the anger that was rising up in my life. Well, if you need hope, stay tuned. And if you know of somebody who needs hope right now in their life, maybe a friend just found out some really difficult news from the doctor, or maybe you have a friend who is really struggling with their teenagers right now, and life is just tough at home, and they need some hope. You know, is it ever going to change? Where do we place our hope? Is there misplaced hope? Hey, by the way, we're on Periscope today. And you can get that app on Android or your iPhone or your iPad, and you can watch us here at Relevant Radio as we are talking about hope. I hope you will. I know that's cheesy. I was told last week that when I said, I hope you will join us this week, someone said, oh, that's cheesy. And I know it's cheesy, but I got away with it. All right. So we're going to talk about hope today. And a couple of scriptures from the Bible that talk about hope. Job was a man who was acquainted with real difficult situations, and he had something to say about hope. He said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to their end without hope. Remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. Have you ever felt like that? That's the way Job felt, and he came out the other end, and he saw eventually the light at the end of the tunnel. I know that some people who are dealing with hopelessness get into a place where they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And those that do see the light for them will tell them, but oftentimes it doesn't make a big difference. And we have to stand with those who don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Jonah was one of those guys. He didn't see the light because he was stuck in the belly of a giant fish. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take my life from me, I beseech thee, for it is better for me to die than to live. Well, we know that people can get to that point where that's what they think. The psalmist said in Psalm 69, insults have broken my heart. Boy, how many of us could raise our hand on that one? Insults have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Well, hopelessness is what many have experienced, and in some cases, it leads to despair. But I want to encourage you today, and that is this. The scripture says that hope is an anchor for the soul, and hope is something that you don't have to generate yourself and go out and, you know, look on the web or go to eBay or, you know, you can't buy it and you can't manufacture hope. Hope comes from somewhere. And hope specifically comes from someone, and that is God. And if you are baptized, if you are a professing Christian, you do have hope. Might not feel like it. You might not realize it. It doesn't seem like there's any hope in your life at times. But I'll tell you what, by virtue of your baptism, there is hope. And that's what the Catechism teaches us in paragraph 1266. The Most Holy Trinity gives the baptized sanctifying grace, the grace of justification, enabling them to believe in God, number one, and to hope in Him, and to love Him through the theological virtues. You see, when you were baptized, you received faith, hope, and love. And if I had a microscope, and I could dissect you and look into your heart, you know what I'd find? I'd find some hope there that God put into your life, that maybe you're not nurturing it, maybe you're not exercising it, maybe you're not walking in it, but it's there. And I want to talk to you a little bit later on in the show on how to cultivate that in your life, how to cultivate hope in your life. Catechism also says in paragraph 2090, when God reveals Himself and calls Him, man cannot fully respond to the divine love by his own powers. He must hope that God will give him the capacity to love Him in return and to act in conformity with the commandments of charity. Hope is the confident expectation of divine blessing and the beatific vision of God. Did you get that? That's what hope is. Hope is the confident expectation of divine blessing. Are you hopeful? Are you looking for divine blessing in your life? God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. You know, during Jesus' day, they made three major pilgrimages to the temple in Jerusalem every year. And on the way, they read and they sang songs. They sang the songs of Psalm 120 to 134. They're called the Psalms of Ascent. And those psalms were sung as they made their way to Jerusalem. And then when they got to Jerusalem, they would walk up the southern steps of the Temple Mount and they would sing those songs once again, Psalm 120 to 134. Look them up. They're great. They're great. They're great psalms. They are psalms of journey. They are psalms of ascent. And you know what the goal was when they went to Jerusalem? There was the sacrifice and there was the feasts, yeah. But the high priest would come out and he would raise his hands in the position, you're going to find this funny, he would raise his hands in the position of Leonard Nimoy and Spock. It's the Vulcan handshake. That's right, the shape of a V, which is the Hebrew letter Shin, which is the first letter of the name of God, Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And the high priest would put a blessing on you. That's what he would do. And that was the goal of your whole pilgrimage, is to receive the divine blessing of God. And on the way, there was hope, hope of receiving that divine blessing. You want to hear something funny? Here's what I don't get, is when people go to Mass, they receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's true. And they receive the word. That's true. But what do we do at the end of Mass? Bow your head and receive God's blessing. But what do a lot of people do? They do the Judas shuffle. They leave early. They leave early right after they receive the Eucharist. They just hightail right out of Mass. And what they were looking for is this divine blessing in their life and this hope, but they left. I don't get that. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm happy that people do go to Mass, and that's good, but stay for that blessing. So once again, hope is the confident expectation of divine blessing and the beatific vision of God. It is also the fear of offending God's love and incurring punishment. So we're going to talk more about hope in just a moment. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, hey, we got a special guest. Luke Spihar is with us, and he's going to be sharing a beautiful song with you called The Sunrise, which it talks about making it through the darkness. He's right here, live in the studio. He's going to share a song with you to encourage you today. And then we're going to continue on in our conversation about hope. Remember, give your friend a call right now. It might make the difference in their life. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we'll be back in just a moment. Rediscover.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
This is a letter from Nick. I was just wondering if you have any book suggestion to read for Catholics. I just got back home to the Catholic Church. Nick, welcome back. And it's fun to read some of the stuff that the saints wrote. I always think there are three testaments. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the lives of the saints. That the lives of the saints, and especially what the saints wrote themselves, you know, this idea of the communion of saints, I think it's the big thing about Catholicism. We read in Romans, the 8th chapter, that God wants his son Jesus, his only begotten son, to be the first of many brothers and sisters. And we're adopted by God. And Jesus said, what I have done, you will do greater things. And we see that fleshed out, this family of God, working for the redemption of humanity in union with Christ. We see this worked out in the family of the saints. So get to know the saints.
Have a question? Give us a call.
Father Simon Says.
11 Eastern, 10 Central on Relevant Radio.
Raise a glass to friendship and knowing you don't have to go alone. We'll raise our hearts to share each other's burdens.
Jeff Cavins back with you today proclaiming hope, H-O-P-E, theological virtue. That's all good. At the end of the day, it means that you have a confident expectation of God's blessing in your life. Hope you do. And if you are struggling, stay tuned. We're going to talk more about hope today on the Rediscover Hour. Joining me here in the studio, in the Hope Studio, is Luke Spehar. And he's going to share a song with us off his album, Be Still. And Luke, it's good to have you here on the show. How have you been doing?
I've been well, Jeff. Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Well, we got so many good musicians in the Twin Cities, and we're working at getting you guys together, and I think God's going to do something special with all of the young musicians that we have, and I'm one of those, by the way, the young ones.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to be, we're excited for all the support that we get from around here, so thank you.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about the song you're going to sing for us today.
Yeah, so this is a song called The Sunrise. I actually wrote this song in high school, and it was written for a friend. I wrote it for a friend of mine who, he was kind of in a hopeless place, and I was just thinking, where would he find hope? He wasn't a believer, so it was a question that I had for him. Where do you find your hope? Where do you find that confidence to push through the darkness into the light? And it was really kind of inspired one morning that was very cold, and I was just outside watching the sun come up, and the beauty of the sun rising in the morning gave me a lot of hope. It just was so beautiful that I thought, wow, you know, if nothing else, stay around to see the sunrise in the morning. That'll give mm-hmm. you some hope. And then, you know, my answer to it, you know, where do you find hope? Is the Lord, is Christ. And a deeper hope I've found in that, in him. And so the song kind of goes back and forth between those two suns, if you will, the sun that rises in the morning, the sun that rose from the dead. So,
very good.
Back and forth.
Well, this is Luke Spehar, The Sunrise, from his CD, Be Still.
Did you see the sunrise this morning break over the land? Warmed my face and hands, bringing peace to my mind. But did you see the sunset this evening? Put the earth to bed, confirming in my head that another day is done. And it's worth staying alive during the night to see the dawn. And it's worth staying alive during the day to see it gone. And when nothing else holds you and you don't know how to carry on, stay alive just to see the sun. Stay alive just to see the sun. Sorrow this world pulls
us through. But I know the joy and happiness, and all the hope too, and all that is false, and all that is true. May every sunrise bring a beautiful day new. May every sunrise bring a beautiful day new. But in all its power, this world doesn't hold me, and only in the rising sun will my soul be set free. And it's worth staying alive, dear, in the night to see the dawn. And it's worth staying alive, dear, in the day to see it gone. And when nothing else holds me, and I don't know why to carry on, I stay alive just to see the sun. I stay alive just to see the sun.
Excellent. Luke Spihar, live here in the Rediscover studio. Song called Sunrise. That's great. That, what a beautiful song. You wrote that in high school.
Yeah. I think the Lord gave it to me at that time because I needed it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's something about high school students today and young adults in general. They're in desperate need of hope, you know, and the world offers so much false hope and offers a life and a future vision that really is unattainable and really will not fulfill them.
Yeah.
When you're with other young adults, and you're a young adult, what do you hear from people as far as the reasons for despair or hopelessness in their lives?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, like you say, when you're talking about hope, is that I often think that people have reached too far out, you know, and are discouraged by the fact that they can't get, you know, you're taking what you think you need at that moment because you don't know if it's going to come down the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I really hear people get discouraged and stuff, I think oftentimes it's because they're looking too far down the road, don't realize what they have in that moment.
Right.
And you know, so that's what I see most often is, you know, it's kind of this, you know, just desire to have something that they really already have, but they're mm-hmm. they're not receiving it, kind of as you mentioned before. They don't receive what they have
sure.
in that moment.
Or we put our hope in the wrong things, which we'll talk about in a moment. You know, that we can put our hope in things, we can put our hope in other people, and ultimately we're going to be disappointed at some point. But if you put your hope in Jesus on a mm-hmm. daily basis, I know one thing for sure. He will never, ever disappoint you. He will not betray you. He will not let you down. But he always has your eternal good in mind. Before the song, we were talking about, you know, how does the church define hope? And it defines it as a confident expectation of divine blessing. And we're not talking about a blessing that is just God saying, hey, God bless you, you know, or me bless you. But we're talking about a deep, deep, rich blessing from God, well-being and peace, shalom, in your heart. But to really understand hope, I think it's important to understand what despair is a sin against. And when you understand what despair is a sin against, then you better understand hope. And The Catechism tells us in paragraph 2091 that the first commandment is also concerned with sins against hope, namely despair and presumption. So what is the first commandment? I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have any strange gods before me. So when you are walking in despair or hopelessness or presumption, that's a sin against the first commandment. And if you have other gods in your life, and that doesn't have to be, you know, like some of the traditional false gods that we know of. It can be a false god like materialism or technology or sports or, inappropriate behavior. It can be alcohol, whatever. If you have these false gods before the one true God, it will steal hope from you. And it's a sin against that first commandment. So the Catechism tells us, and I think this is so powerful, that the first commandment is also concerned with sins against hope, namely despair and presumption. Well, what's despair? Despair, by despair, man ceases to hope for his personal salvation from God, for help in attaining it, or for the forgiveness of his sins. So if you have ceased to rely on the Lord for forgiveness of your sins, you can fall into despair in your life. And if you see yourself as doing this all on your own and not with the help of the Lord, you can go into despair. And despair is contrary to God's goodness and to his justice. For the Lord is faithful to his promises. The other thing is presumption. And this is something that in my own life, I have to admit, I don't search my heart as well as I should. And I do presume so often, but it's a sin against the first commandment, this presuming. What do I mean? Well, there's two kinds of presumption. Either man presumes upon his own capabilities, his own capacities, hoping to be able to save himself without the help from God. That's presumption, and that leads to hopelessness in our lives. Or he presumes upon God's almighty power or his mercy and forgiveness without conversion. We're presuming that God's mercy is there. God's going to be powerful in my life, and I don't have to change in my life. And I can go to confession. I can confess the same thing, which you should go, but I can do this over and over and over, and I'm presuming on the Lord's mercy in my life, but I don't have any real intention of changing in my life. That's called presumption. And that will lead you to despair and hopelessness. It will. It's a sin against the first commandment. So the dictionary defines hope as the expectation or desire for a thing, and the church says that thing that we have hope for, desire for, is the divine blessing of God. And the divine blessing of God does come into our lives, but we have to also step up to the plate, and we have to walk according to his word and not walk in despair, not walk in presumption. So hope in the Bible, by the way, the word for hope in the Old Testament is the word tikvah. In fact, that's the national anthem of Israel today, ha-tikvah. It means the hope. And that's not a bad theme for our lives, is it? You know, to wake up every morning and say, ha-tikvah, the hope. I have hope today in my life. The Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4 says, so as long as there is life, there is hope. And hopelessness is when the point of reference, which is God, is blurred or removed or shaken in your life. So I want to ask you, as you're driving down 494, you're heading east on 94 right now, and you're going through what you're going through in your life, is the point of reference in your life that center where you look for stability, which should be God and your relationship with God, is that blurred today? Is it shaken? Is it removed by circumstances or by what happened in your life just recently? If you want to move back into the area of hope, then you have to return to that point of reference, which is Jesus Christ. And you have to focus on Jesus Christ. As good as the shows are on TV, these talk shows, these pop formators, and you know who I'm talking about, the daytime shows, the talk shows, the doctor shows, and all of that, as good as they are in their suggestions for your life, it's not the point of reference that's going to bring you this hope. It really isn't. So if you're looking in the wrong area, then today's a good day to say, you know what? I'm going to change. We call that metanoia. We call that repenting, you know, turning from what is not working and turning to God, turning to righteousness. And that's what's going to get you back on course. Remember the famous Plato speaks of a hope that is a projection from oneself concerning the future. And maybe that's the trap you're in right now. That's the trap I get in at times, is I have this projection of the future, but it's from me. It's what I want, you know, in the future. But a correct projection of the future is one that looks to the Lord and says, Lord, what is my future with you? And the goal of that is the beatific vision, which is a big fancy word for to be with God forever and ever in heaven. And that's the hope we have. And no matter how difficult life gets right now for you, no matter how rotten the circumstances can get in your life, you will always have that point of reference and that goal in mind that you will be with God one day, and you keep your hope on Jesus and don't let go of it. It'll be an anchor for your soul, says the New Testament, an anchor for your soul. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I mean, when I grew up, kids didn't have a lot of the problems that they have today. And, you know, but we had our problems. I had my problems growing up. And I remember in fifth grade and sixth grade, I remember my father saying to me in the middle of the winter that in the spring, he was going to take me on fishing opener. And all throughout the winter, I always looked forward to that springtime when my dad would take me up to Red Lake, Minnesota, the Red Lake, and we would go on the Tamarack River and stay in a cabin for 2 or 3 days, and we would go fishing. And in the winter, when the blues set in, when the cold sets in, and maybe people don't feel so hot, you know, in the winter, maybe you're there right now, I would begin to look forward to that and dream about that, you know, the day that my dad would take me to fishing opener. And as the time got closer, I thought about it more and more. I didn't lose that hope. And I remember very clearly 4 or 5 in the morning, my dad waking me up saying, Bub, it's time to go. The day came. And we got in the car, and I'd already had my fishing equipment out, my little tackle box and my rod and reel and my clothes, and everything was ready. And we put it in the car, and we drove over to my dad's friend's house. We picked them up, and then we went up to northern Minnesota, and it became reality. But, you know, if my dad had come into my room that morning after hoping so long and said, son, I don't know how to tell you this, but I got to go on a business trip, my hope would have been dashed. You know, the scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you do feel sick. Maybe hope has been deferred in your life. Well, that's one thing that can happen if we put our hope in the wrong place. But we are such hopeful people. We are. And sometimes we keep making the same mistake, don't we? Some hope in chariots and some hope in horses and some hope in the stock market. Tell you what, if that's been your hope lately, you're in hurt right now. But if your hope is in the Lord, he won't disappoint you. Come fishing opener, he'll be there. He'll be there. And we're talking about something greater than fishing opener. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about shalom, peace, deep within your heart. Deep within your heart. When you come to this place of hope, when you come to this place of hope, it can become a crossroads in your life, a crossroads called hope. And what hope does and what difficult situations do is that hope can lead you to sin if you are looking for the wrong thing and hoping in the wrong thing. But this crossroads can also, hope can lead you to obedience and lead you to Christ. So I want to ask you today, are you at the crossroads called hope? Or what are you going to do? You're going to go in the area of sin to fulfill this hope in your life, or are you going to go to Christ? Just something to think about today. When we come back, we're going to talk more about hope. We have so much more to talk to you about hope. I want to talk to you about where we put our hope and then some real practical things to put into practice to cultivate hope in your life. I'm Jeff Cavins. Luke Spihar is with us here in the studio. Wonderful musician. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Discover.
For more than 150 years, the family of Washburn McGreevy Funeral Chapels and Cemeteries have been the trusted choice of families by providing all of the services needed at the end of life. The local experts at Washburn McGreevy continue to show the compassion only a family-operated company can offer. Their 16 updated and remodeled facilities serve our area parishes and communities with a professional staff that will visit your home to assist with no obligation pre-planning funeral and cremation services. Washburn McGreevy can also assist with veterans or Social Security benefits related to the end of life. It makes sense to contact Washburn McGreevy soon to pre-plan or to become familiar with all of the help and experience a full-service funeral chapel and cemetery can provide at your time of need. No matter where you live in the Twin Cities, you will be connected to a caring professional near you by calling 612-377-2203. Washburn McGreevy continues to present the Daily Mass and Rosary on Relevant Radio.
Winter explorers, listen up. 10 iconic winter destinations are part of a statewide scavenger hunt called Checkpoint MN, a contest from Explore Minnesota and Monopoint Media. To enter, snap your photo with any Checkpoint MN sign and upload it to checkpointmn.com. The more places you check in, the more prizes you can win. Find out more, including checkpoint locations and a list of prizes, at checkpointmn.com.
Tear away the ties that bind you. Roll away the stone that hides you. Leave all sin and death behind you. See the Lord through eyes of faith.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, talking about hope today. And hope is a great thing. It's the expectation of God's divine blessing in your life. And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be blessed? We all do, I believe. Some people, you know, when they live in hope in the world here today, the closest they get to this divine blessing is they buy a Powerball ticket, and they have this sudden hope, you know, in their life that wow, what if I obtained the $35 million? This is so great. I'm living in this hope. Well, that kind of gives you this synthetic hope. I would call that synthetic hope, and it's a hope that is based on odds, and people kind of enjoy it for a period of time. But I think it's safe to say most people have never won it. And what's interesting is the people who have won it, there's studies done that their lives kind of got messed up after that. So rather than walking in synthetic hope, walk in the realistic hope, the real hope, the authentic hope, and that's the hope that God put inside of you when you were baptized, and that is a hope for His blessing and His relationship, the blessing of your Heavenly Father. And you will only get that as you are in relationship with Him. But if you go in other directions and you look for the hope in the world, in other things, you're going to be disappointed. So how do we hope in other things? Well, the scripture says something about it. Some people hope in riches. 1 Timothy 6:17, some people hope in riches. In Timothy it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Hello, stock market. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. What a rich scripture. I mean, write that down. You know, when you get to work, don't write it down while you're driving. But when you pull over, get gas, or get to work, write it down. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Some put their hope in men or women, other people. And to a degree, we do have to put hope, you know, in relationships, particularly in marriage. But Psalm 118 and verse 8 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. So when it comes to the ultimate trusting and hoping, you know, we can't stop with just, you know, mere mortals. We have to hope in God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And that's the good thing about putting your hope in God, is that the hope that you are exercising comes from God, given to you at baptism. You can grow it and exercise it, but it's a hope that comes from God, and it's a hope that is focused on God. Some people put their hope in idols, and I know you're not one of them, but I have been. I have been in my life. There's been times where I think I've had idols, which are false gods, in my life, and I put hope in them, and they came crashing down face first like the false gods of the Philistines did with Samson. It says in Jeremiah 48:13, then Moab will be ashamed at Chemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed when they trusted in Bethel. Jeremiah 14, do any of the worthless idols of the nations bring rain? Do the skies themselves send down showers? No, it is you, O Lord our God. Therefore, our hope is in you, for you are the one who does all this. Sometimes people put their hope in things, don't they? Psalm 33 says, a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. So maybe you don't have a horse, but you have something equivalent that has great strength and you're putting your hope in it, but it can't save you. Only the Lord can do that. You see, we're talking about changing the focus of our hope in our life. We don't have a hope in things, in people. We don't have a hope in men or idols or riches, but our hope is in the Lord who doesn't disappoint. Let me tell you, this is a funny thing that happened to me. Some of you have been to Canterbury Downs, you know, go up there and they have the horse races. I've only been out there once. I'm not really a betting guy. I kind of look at the casinos and think, I wonder how they built that. And I think I know how they built it. They built it on a lot of our money. But I'm not really a gambler. I don't gamble. And when gambling gets to the point where it takes away from your children and your family, that's when it really becomes a sin in your life. But we went out to the Canterbury Downs, and I think I made my mind up I was going to spend $15 or something like that on a $1 or $2 ticket. And I went and I bet on a particular horse, number five, you know, a number five horse. Okay, so I put $2 down to bet on number five horse. And then I don't know a whole lot about racing, so I'm all excited. All the horses are getting ready to run. Dun, 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 you know, the trumpet blows, and the horses are off and around the first turn, and I'm screaming, yelling, and my kids are yelling for their number horse that they're betting on. And go five, go five, go, go, go. I can't remember the name of the horse, Big Red or something. Go, 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 go. And I'm yelling, and the horses are coming around the back stretch, and around the turn they come, and they're coming down, and all of a sudden it's horse number three, horse number one, and horse number seven. I'm thinking, I lost. And then I looked up at the great big screen to find out that before the race, horse number five was scratched. My horse wasn't even in the race. And I had such hope, and I was yelling because I could have won like $5. And I was so excited, and my horse wasn't even in the race. Has that happened to you in your life where you have so much hope on something that is not simply not going to even happen? That is my story about horse racing, and that is my career in betting. I came home with probably $10 out of the 15 that I started with, so I helped build Canterbury Downs. So that's my story. Well, God wants you to have hope. Let me give you a couple of practical things that you could do in your life to cultivate this hope that you have in your life. You know, in the Old Testament, for those of you who've gone through Bible study, you know that in the year 930 BC, the kingdom of Israel divided into two nations. Divided into two nations, 10 nations to the north called Israel, and ten tribes to the north called Israel, two tribes to the south called Judah. That's where Jesus comes from, is the tribe of Judah, this country of Judah around Jerusalem. Well, in the north, once the kingdom divided and they didn't have access to Jerusalem, everything kind of came unraveled in the north. Jeroboam, the leader of the north, he started to make up false gods, he made up false sacrifices, new priests, everything he had to manufacture because they split away from Jerusalem and the temple and the line of David. And they got themselves into a whole lot of trouble. And the prophets, you know, spoke to them and rebuked them and tried to get them back on track. And they didn't have any luck. Well, earlier, right after Israel came over the Jordan River to take Jericho, there was a major sin that took place that really brought judgment. And that sin was that when they came over, and this is prior to the kingdom dividing in 930 BC, when they came over the Jordan River and they took Jericho, God said, do not take anything for yourselves. Don't take anything for yourselves. It's a complete holocaust, a complete offering to the Lord because of the wickedness of that city. But one man by the name of Achan, A-C-H-A-N, Achan, one man, Achan, took some of the riches of the people from Jericho and hid it in his tent. And as a result of that, the next city that they tried to take, a little town called Ai, Israel was defeated. And we were defeated by a small town because of the sin of the one man. Well, that one man committed that act in a particular valley called the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor, A-C-H-O-R, Achor. And so from that time on, when you wanted to speak about a really embarrassing, shameful moment in Israel's history, you would just say Valley of Achor, because that's where Achan did it, and that's where Israel lost the battle, you know, against Ai, this Valley of Achor. But listen to what Hosea the prophet said. It's beautiful. Hosea the prophet said to the north, the 10 tribes to the north, as he thought back about that awful blemish in Israel's history, he said, therefore, I will give her back her vineyards and will make the Valley of Achor a door of hope. Isn't that beautiful? God is saying to the north, he's saying, you know what? You remember back when you guys came across the river? Remember I told you not to take anything? Do you remember Achan did and it kind of cost you all the battle at Ai? Well, that was a pretty bad deal, and I know you've talked about it since, and you've got jokes about it at the water fountain, Achor, the Valley of Achor. Well, guess what? I'm going to make that Valley of Achor in your life, that shameful point, I'm going to make it a door of hope. So the good news for you today is this, and for me, is that if you are staring at a Valley of Achor, if you're staring at a shameful time in your life, an embarrassing time that has brought despair and hopelessness in your life, guess what? God will use that situation, and he will create a door of hope in the midst of that valley. But God will create a door of hope. You got to walk through it. You know, you got to walk through it. You can't just say, well, theologically, I've got a door of hope. You know, praise God, that's good. You got to walk through that door. And you walk through that door by being very practical in your walk with God. Here's a couple things that I would really encourage you to do. Number one, what do you do? Well, if you're living in hopelessness right now and you're living in that Valley of Achor and you don't have a sense of expectation of God's divine blessing in your life or the beatific vision to be with him forever and ever, first thing I'd ask you to do is this. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Don't make it a cute little frilly prayer. You're not in the place where you can afford cute frilly prayers right now. Cry out. Cry out to God. Even in your car, just cry out to him and for help in the midst of your hopelessness. Psalm 119 and 147 says, I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I think that's something that a lot of us, we don't do. You know, we don't act like this is real. I mean, if God is real and he can give you hope in the midst of your hopelessness and you're really hurting, my word, cry out to him. Don't mumble. Cry out. I've done that before. I've been in the car before and I cried out, oh God, help me. Help me. That's the beginning. Cry out. In 1 Timothy 5:5, the widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, I've alluded to it several times during the show today. Hope is an anchor for the soul. You feel like you don't have an anchor. You feel like you're just drifting with no hope. It's hopeless, despair. You need an anchor in your life, and that anchor is hope, and that hope is not a hope so, and it's not a hope I get pizza tonight. It's a hope that is thoroughly, thoroughly anchored in relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is real. This is not a made-up thing. This hope that he wants you to walk in is real. It's an anchor for your life. I love that scripture, Hebrews 6:19. Hope is an anchor for the soul. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, the writer of Hebrews says, firm and secure. So, cry out to the Lord, number one. Number two, take stock of where you are putting your hope right now. As I alluded to earlier and spoke about, is it men, is it money, is it jobs, is it health, is it the stock market? All of these things can change on a dime. I just spoke the day before yesterday. I just spoke to a stock analyst about the downfall in the market. And he said, you know, it can happen anytime. It can happen anytime, and there's so many different reasons. And that's why we don't put our hope there. We're wise. We're prudent in our investments. But we don't put all of our hope there. And even those that will help you with your 401k will say, don't put your hope in one stock. Diversify. You know, spread it out. Be wise. But some people say, well, this one company is doing so well. I'm going to put all my hope in that one company. And something happens in the company and the stock takes a tank and they are left in despair. So take stock of where you're at right now. Number three, put your hope in God. Take some time, kneel down, consciously put your trust in God. Say it to Him. Don't do this just in your head. Don't just say, well, I'm going to make a mental shift here and put my hope in God. Get it down on your knees. Go to an adoration chapel. Get on your knees. Raise your hands up and say, God, I am making a conscious decision with my will that I'm going to put my hope in You. And I'm going to develop my relationship with You. How do you do that? Well, the shoe company figured it out. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just go to a chapel today or in your own home and get on your knees and say, Lord, cry out to You. I'm going to put my trust in You, which should be followed up with faithfulness, which is start reading the Bible. Start reading the catechism. Find out about the saints who also trusted in God and follow their example. Begin to cultivate your relationship with God. Act like you really are putting your trust there. It's not just a one-time decision. It's just not something that you confess and then move on the way you have been. You need a change in your life. If you really want hope and you want to put your hope in God, you've got to change your life. Start reading the Bible to remind you of His character. Look up paragraph 236 of the Catechism. See, when you get out of the car, you're going to have to go back and listen to the rebroadcast here to get some of these things. I know, but paragraph 236 of the Catechism says that you got to learn the heart of your Father and know the heart of your Father, and you have to know His works in history. Get to know the heart of your Heavenly Father, get to know His actions in history, and you will start to build a foundation to trust in and put your hope in. And then put your hope in His Word. Number four, Psalm 130 and verse 5, in Your Word I put my hope, O Lord. Put your hope in His Word and take Jesus' yoke upon you. Number five, His worldview. Matthew 11:29 says, Jesus says, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, His worldview. And that will help you in focusing on His life, His goal for you. Well, I hope that this has been helpful in some way to you. If you know of somebody who needs to hear it, tell them to listen to the rebroadcast by going to rediscover-faith.org, and we'll point you right to this rebroadcast. Luke Spihar is here. Luke, you played a beautiful song earlier, The Sunrise, which I so appreciated. Where can people get in touch with your music?
Yeah, I'm on the kind of major music outlets, iTunes, Amazon. You can find me at my own website, which is just lukespehar.com. Spehar, S-P-E-H-A-R, lukespehar.com.
Very good. Well, a little bit later on today, Friday, we're going to be meeting with a number of young musicians with the Office of Evangelization that I'm working with. We're going to talk about how do young musicians in this archdiocese, how do they get their music out to you? And how can they contribute to the nurturing and the growth of the body of Christ here in the Twin Cities? So pray for us today. If it's Saturday or Sunday and you're listening to the rebroadcast, still pray for us that God would raise up an army of musicians who would have an impact in the Twin Cities in the area of music. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to let you know of a number of great opportunities for you to get involved. Some great things happening here in this wonderful Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. This is the Rediscover Hour. Be right back.
you remember what you were doing in 1985? Maybe you were cheering for Michael Jordan, NBA's Rookie of the Year, or collecting Cabbage Patch dolls, or trying your first taste of new Coke. It's safe to say not everything from 1985 is still around today. But St. Paul's Outreach is, and we're celebrating 30 years of ministry in Minnesota with a benefit banquet on Mardi Gras, Tuesday, February 9th. Join local SPO missionaries and supporters for an evening of fellowship, faith, and fun as we share highlights of our mission. You'll learn more about how we build Catholic communities that awaken faith on campus and form lifelong disciples. Plus, we'll be honoring two of our alumni for their service to the church, Bishop Andrew Cousins and Sister Gloria Therese of the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. Space is limited, so register today by visiting www.spoweb.org. That's www.spoweb.org. See you there.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins and Paul Sadek here with you.
Hey, that's me.
Today's going to be a good day, Paul. It's got a lot happening.
We've got a lot of good days coming up. The Church of St. Charles Borromeo, for example, is hosting the 2016 Newly Married Retreat, Saturday, February 6th, 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The retreat is for couples married 7 years or less. Keynote speaker, Bishop Andrew Cousins. He'll be speaking on the primacy of marriage in our culture. Register by February 1st at archspm.org/NMR. Cost is $40 per couple. That includes continental breakfast and a catered lunch. For more information, call 651-291-4553.
Are you familiar with Totus Tuus? This fun, energetic, parish-based summer catechetical program for children and junior and senior high school youth is looking for college-age men and women to serve on Totus Tuus teams this summer. If you know an energetic young adult with ability to witness to the faith, please consider inviting them to learn more about this dynamic summer opportunity. Please visit archspm.org/totustuus. That's archspm.org/TOTUSTUUS. That's Totus Tuus. Applications are due by March 1st.
And you're invited to St. Peter's in North St. Paul for their first fish fry of the year. It's that time of the year already. Hosted by the Knights of Columbus, Friday, February 12th, 4 to 7 p.m. in the St. Peter Catholic School cafeteria. Meal includes deep-fried, breaded, baked, and gluten-free baked fish, coleslaw, mac and cheese, and vegetables, breadsticks, potatoes, and applesauce, and beverages. Cost for adults, $10. Seniors, $8. Kids 12 and under, $3. For more information, visit NorthStPaulKOfC.com.
In conjunction with Sherry Waddell and the Catherine of Siena Institute, Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Parish in St. Paul will be hosting two nights of formation on Following Christ with Purpose, a Lenten mission to continue the discussion on intentional discipleship. The speaker will be Deacon Mark Sesnick, and he's from the St. Catherine Siena Institute. All are welcome to attend this free series. The program will go from 7 to 8:15 p.m. on Monday, February 15th and Tuesday, February 16th. Contact B.J. Kranz at bkranz@nativity-mn.org or simply call 651-696-5441 with any questions.
St. Helena Catholic School in Minneapolis invites you to Ham Bingo, sponsored by Honey Baked Ham. Saturday, February 20th, doors open at 4:45 p.m. The event will alternate cash prizes and Honey Baked Ham gift cards throughout the evening. That's along with a $200 and $300 coverall. Concessions, pull tabs, meat raffles available throughout the evening. For more information, visit the school website at sthelenaschool.us or call St. Helena Catholic School, 612-729-9301.
Hey, big announcement here. Bishop Andrew Cousins invites you to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference on Saturday, February 27th. Come on, guys. Come on, ladies. Get the word out. It's February 27th. It's in the Anderson Fieldhouse at the University of St. Thomas. The theme of this year's conference is The Catholic Watchman, calling men to be protectors, providers, and leaders of their family and parish. So check online for registration at rediscover-faith.org, or you can call Susanna Boley. Do it now, 651-291-4411. Let's get all the men out. That's February 27th.
And St. Michael, St. Albert Catholic Church Youth Ministry will host their annual Winterfest event, used to be known as February Fun Fest, Saturday and Sunday, January 30th and 31st. All are welcome to attend. Food, games, and more begin after 5 p.m. Mass Saturday. For more information, visit stmcatholicchurch.org. Or call St. Michael Parish Office, 763-497-2745. And what's up next week? Next 2 weeks from now on the Rediscover.
Paul, we got a big show that's going to be coming up in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk with Matthew James Christoph, founder of the New Evangelization. We're going to talk about the daily disciplines of coming to know the Lord personally and as a church, and we're going to talk about the big conference, the men's conference that's coming up February 27th. We want every man to attend. It's at St. Thomas. We're going to be launching the Archdiocesan Initiative for Men with Bishop Andrew Cousins. That's coming up.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.